Praise God. Everything. Everything. Everything I need is in that name. It's in that name. You can go ahead and be seated. That was an awesome song. I love that song, man. I'm fired up. This is kind of a Bible study message, but I think we're gonna let her rip tonight. How's that sound? I've been excited. This month we've been talking about sowing and reaping. We've been talking about giving and receiving, and about how that in order to take and receive, you have to be able to give, and we have to get the basic principles down first before we can take and move on. And we started off with our Wednesday night pastor's Bible study, the first Wednesday night of the month, on a lesson about givers and takers. How many of you remember that? About there's two different types of people in the world, those who give and those who take. I spoke of the world was basically those two types of people, and before you can move on to the next level in God, we got to get down some of the basics. We got to get down 101 before we can move on to 102. And we've got to grasp those principles of a blessed life. Everybody always likes to look at the blessing side of things. When you come to church and you hear, you're sitting in here and you're like, come on, Pastor, tell me about some of God's blessings. What's in this for me? What can I get out of this church service? And tonight we're going to take and we're going to go into a few of those blessings. But I do want to warn you that before you get a blessing, there's some things that you must first do. There's some things that God is going to require of you, and He requires of me, and He gives none of us a break. He doesn't say, just because your last name is Russell, I'm going to give you a break. Just because your last name is Grant, I'm going to cut you a little slack. Or Phil Demas, I really like you, I'm going to make an exception. God says, no, my principles are my principles. And you're going to follow those principles. We found out that the very first principle that's taught in God's Word is the principle of sowing and reaping. And kind of our scripture for the month, a couple passages of scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, and we've read this the last two services, but I'm going to read it again. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. When God says something and God speaks something and says it is so, it is so. It's going to happen. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Then we went on to read in Galatians 6:7. And this is another section of scripture, another scripture that we have read this month. And Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Brother Russell did a great job, a fantastic job this morning on sowing and reaping. And last Sunday night we spoke of, if you sow to the wind, what do you reap? The whirlwind. If we sow to the wind or reap bad seeds in our life, bad seeds meaning bad deeds, bad decisions, we make poor choices add upon poor choices, and over a period of time, we continue to sow those seeds in our lives, and we continue to sow, and we continue to sow, and what happens is we begin to reap, and when we reap a whirlwind. Over the past few months, I've studied and spent a lot of time in the Word of God. And I've really began to, I guess you could say, fall in love with some of the prophets of old. I know a lot of times as Pentecostals, we like the New Testament, we like the book of John, the book of Acts, and we like to go into the epistles, but I've really kind of fell in love with some of our old prophets. I admire how they stood up in front of nations and spoke not only their hearts, but God's heart as God impressed upon them, and God took and anointed them, and they spoke the heart of God and said, this is what God wants to say to the people. And a lot of it, many times, was against great opposition. many of the old prophets were persecuted in so many different ways because the people didn't like what they hear. And we deal with that today in the day and age that we live in. We live in a day and age where people sit in churches and they say, come on, pastor, tell me what I want to hear. I want to hear about all the blessings. I want to hear about all of those nice new cars God's going to provide for me. I want to hear about the new house. I want to hear, come on, pastor. They got itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what I need to hear. Don't tell me what I need to know. They wept as they preached, and oft times the people were at all not interested in what the prophets had to say. They lived in the most desperate of times, but they had power. They had anointing, and they had authority with God. Continuing tonight in our series of sowing and reaping, we're going to turn to the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to turn to the book of Malachi, give you a little bit of background on Malachi. Malachi is the last of the 400 prophets. The times in which he lived about the times that he lived was about 400 years before the birth of Christ. One could almost take and look in the days that Malachi lived and draw a perfect parallel to the days in which we live today. You see, Malachi was dealing with a particular problem. He was dealing with an issue or a particular situation in which the way that God's people had been receiving blessings and should have been continuing to receive blessings, but there was something wrong. And Malachi began to address that. Over the years, Israel had decided that they were no longer willing to pay the price of the blessings of God on their lives. I want you to really grasp that. Israel came to a point, Brother Phil, where they said, we're tired of paying the price. We're tired of living the way we know we are supposed to live. We're tired of living God's word in our lives. And we want to do it else. Do something else. We want to live the way we want to live. That's why the book of Malachi said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Give me what I want to do. I'm going to live life my way. I'm tired of living life God's way. And it would seem that at the time of his writings that God had simply closed the windows of blessings upon the nation of Israel. God's blessings had been closed primarily due to one thing and one thing only. Now, before you think that this is a message all about money, this is where it starts. Okay? This is where it starts. This is where it started with Israel. God's blessings, people had been withholding their tithes and their offerings. God was saying, if you will bring all the tithes and the offerings into the house of God, I will pour out the showers of my blessings upon you. That was a promise that God had made unto Israel. By refusing to support the house of God in tithes and offerings, what this really was it was an outward sign of a much deeper inward spiritual problem. It seemed to stem from disobedience to God. Israel became disobedient, and Malachi was trying to tell the people that the best way to show that they were willing to repent of their sins, they're willing to take and change their evil habits, repent of their unbelief and disobedience, was to prove to God by supporting and paying their tithes. Now we're going to read Malachi 3, 6 through 12, and I'm reading the New International Version tonight. I don't know if we have that back there, Sister Melissa, or not. That's fine if you want to put up the King James. They're real close, but there's some differences, and I think the New International kind of reads a little bit easier in this. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. He starts out telling Israel that, you know what? I don't change. I don't change my laws. I don't change my principles. When I lay it out, it's laid out, and I'm not going to change it. Even though I love you, Israel, even though you're my chosen people, even though I will do anything for you, you're the apple of my eye, I'm not changing for you. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And God replies, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, he says, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food, that there may be food in mine house. Test me, he says, test me. Prove me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Did you just understand what God was just saying? God was just saying, you have been robbing me, Israel, of tithes and offerings, but prove me, test me. I dare you to test me on this. Prove to me. And if you do, I, Lord Almighty, will open up the floodgates of heaven. Have you ever seen floodgates open? It's amazing watching floodgates open and the rush of water that comes through. You think you can hold back that water? That's what God is saying to Israel. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I want to deal with the part in verse 10 where it says, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. In Malachi, in the scripture we've just read in verse 10, it says, prove me now. Prove me now. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's pretty powerful. That is awesome. How many of you want a blessing from the Lord? How many of you need a financial blessing in your life? Just be honest. Nothing wrong with that. How many of you need a real spiritual blessing in your life? A real spiritual miracle? How about a health miracle? Anybody got a health issue? You know, health, good health is a blessing. It's an incredible, I would rather have good health than have money, houses, and lands, because if you ain't got health, nothing else matters. I don't want a good doctor. I want a good chief physician. Tonight, the title of my message is Prove Me. Prove Me. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now robbery, when you look at robbery, this is kind of strong language. God's kind of just laying it down right here to Israel and says, but you're robbing me. And you're withholding your tithe, or you're withholding a tenth of our income. Now I believe in tithing. I believe that in the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites to pay one-tenth. The tithing goes much more than that. You can go into it much deeper. But basically, one-tenth belonged to God. God says, you know what? If you make $100, you give me that $10, and you got the 90 to spend. Now, if you believe in this and you obey this, I will bless the 90 far abundantly and above all the 100 would equal. So that's where that talks about pouring out a blessing. And I have proved God. I have asked God. When God says, prove me, in my life over the years, I have put God to the test, and he has never let me down. I'm serious. Now, this goes much deeper than just tithes and offerings, and we're going to get into this. For the Jewish people, they were given very clear instructions about the tithing. They were indicated that the first tenth of income belonged to God, and it's to be returned to them. And verse 9, you are under the curse. You are under a curse. The entire nation of Israel was under a curse. God says, you know what? I'm gonna shut up the windows of heaven. All of the blessings that I've poured out upon you, I'm going to stop that flow of blessings. I'm going to stop blessing you, Israel. Why? Because you're robbing me. You're spending my money. I've only asked for a tenth. That's what God is saying. I've only asked for one tenth of your offering, and you're robbing me of that. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Now, tonight is not just about tithes and offerings. And I want you to understand that. I know that some people today don't feel that they have to tithe, due that it's really not spoken of much in the New Testament. They feel that it's an Old Testament requirement, thus they're exempt from it. But I guess on that note, I would just like to say that before the law was written, before tithing even came into existence, Abraham commenced tithing. He tithed. Jacob continued to tithe. He followed up on Abraham. We know how God blessed Abraham. We know how God blessed Jacob. Moses has commanded it, but Jesus commended it. Now, when you take and you look at Jesus, when Jesus came, and you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where he ever said to stop it. I can't find anywhere where Jesus in the Beatitudes or anywhere else says, you know about that tithe thing, you don't have to do that anymore. So tonight, what God is saying to you and God is saying to me, is to prove me. Test me on this. You don't believe it? Prove me. You don't believe I can bless you? Test me. That's what God is saying. But it goes much deeper than this. Have you ever asked God why or what was stopping or blocking your blessings? Have you ever sat down and said, God, I don't understand why I'm trying to do everything that I know to do, but there's something in my life that I'm not doing. Why is it, God, that everyone else seems to get a blessing and I don't seem to get anything? Have you ever asked God that? Nobody's ever asked God that? Seriously, I thank you for the few honest ones here. I've said that. I've said, God, why is it that everybody else gets a blessing and I don't? What is it with me? God says, if you've been baptized, you repented of your sins, and you've been filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, you've already received one of the greatest blessings that you could ever receive. So when I look at this and I say, God, are you ever going to bless me? My salvation is the greatest blessing that I could ever have. How awesome is it that I can repent of my sins, baptize and have my sins washed away and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? What a blessing! But there's so much more. In fact, God is saying, you just have to get started. God is saying, listen, this salvation, if you just repented of your sins, if you just received a new birth certificate tonight, this is just the beginning of what God has for you. He's saying, I want to take and pour out. I want to open up the floodgates from heaven. I want to pour out a blessing upon you that just simply rocks your world. Blows your mind. You can't believe what blessings God has. You see on those info commercials, you see on TV, it always goes and it says, but wait, there's more. You ever seen that? I just saw one the other day. We were having dinner and they had some kind of a fancy mop and a bucket that swirled around, and you get done and you watch it and you just want to go out and just buy one just because it looks cool. But then they say, wait, there's more. We'll not only send you two swirly mops that are awesomely rocking cool, or send you one, we'll send you two. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, listen, you've just got started. I've already blessed you. I've already given you salvation. And I've got something more for you. I've got a whole lot more in store for you in your life. But then we look and we say, God, What is it, though? Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, God, what's stopping the blessing? What am I doing in my life? How do we reverse sometimes? We look at life and we look at where life takes us and we make wrong turns and we go down the wrong roads and we have to reverse this process. Just as God spoke through Malachi to Israel and said, listen, Israel, you know what? You want to stop this curse upon your life? You want to stop all of this problems? You want to stop the drought? You want to stop all of this? All you got to do is just fall on your face and repent. You repent, you get your heart right with me, and you know what? I'm going to be God. I'm going to be the God that I promised you to be. You want me to prove myself to you, and I'll prove myself to you. So tonight we're going to take and we're going to work, we're going to unplug that drain that's stopping our lives and stopping the blessings from God upon our lives. I love Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessings of Abraham is our father. He is an heir. We are an heir to Abraham's promise. Even though we are Gentiles, we are saved through the blessings and the blood of Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So God is saying to you, and He's saying to me today, just as I promised Abraham, I'll promise you. Jesus has purchased mankind through the curse or through the death and the burial and His resurrection on the cross of Calvary. And according to God's word, we are joint heirs in Christ Jesus. We're joint heirs. We are heir to the same throne. We are heir to the kingdom of heaven. We already possess the blessings that was on Abraham. We already possess the blessing that was on Isaac and that was on Jacob. We walk in blessings that God has given to you and I. We just need to open up our eyes and open up our hearts and see what the Lord has done and what He can do in you and through you. So tonight, if you're struggling, feeling like the heavens have been shut up and no blessings flow, let's examine a few causes, a few things that could cause that blessings flow in your life. I worked as a plumber, and you know there's a lot of things that can plug up a drain. Bathtubs, women's hair, hands down. The plumbers in the house would all say a big amen. Kitchen sinks, there's nothing worse than rice and chicken bones. It'll plug a drain up every time. It's stinky, it's rotten, and it's disgusting. Our lives. Sometimes our lives get plugged up with junk, and the blessings can't flow. Maybe that wasn't a very good analogy, but it works for me, okay? We all have plumbing problems from time to time. So many things can come between us and God, stopping that flow of blessings. Living an ungodly lifestyle. The Lord says in Malachi 3:11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Understand one thing, they lived in a predominantly agricultural culture. And the devourers were insects, they were animals, disease and drought, which would destroy their crops. For most of us, however, the devourers in our lives are things like bad spending, habits, bad habits, living way beyond our means, greed and materialism. And we could go on and on and on about the devourers of our lives. And God will rebuke these, and we have all kinds of foes that take and they devour our income and they like to enslave us. How many of you have financial issues tonight? You see, you really don't have it's lack of finances is what you have an issue with. You see, if you have finances, that means you've got something to start with. Most of us have lack of finances. So in my earlier years, my wife will attest to this. I'm glad that my wife is an awesome lady. And she's put up with so much I have too, a little bit, but not much. Just leaving her dishes out and every now and then having to vacuum, but I'm just kidding. Most of us guys, when we get married and our wives have a pretty good job, we go out and spend money like there's no tomorrow. I know that because some of you are in here tonight. You are doing that. You have done that. And the burden of finances rests upon your wife's shoulders because she makes good money and you have all kinds of fun with your money. And as a result of that, you get yourself into trouble. You see, you find out that credit cards are really cool until you have to pay them back. And I've changed over the years. My wife will say in my earlier years, it was a constant pattern of just money in, money out. Stupid says, stupid does. I bought more dumb stuff that I didn't need, but I had to have it. And I went around when we got ready to move. A number of years ago, about 10 years ago, 9 years ago now, I went and I started collecting all my tools, and I couldn't believe how many hammers I had. I'm serious. I had probably a dozen and a half hammers. Tape measures? I had a whole shelf. I set them up on the shelf. I had a whole row of tape measures. I'm like, why? Utility knives. My word. I'm still using utility knives and blades that I bought 10 years ago. I'm still finding them, digging around. Why do you have to have so much stuff? Fishing lures. I've been to Canada, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of lures, and I've gone and fished all week and only used two. Think about it. Why? Why? Every year, deer hunting, guys, we got to go out and buy a new box of bullets. And last year, we didn't even pull a trigger. But we got to have another box of bullets. And after 10, 15 years, you got your own ammo shop. Why? I asked myself, and it was a problem. But I've changed. And today, I got to be honest with you, I'm much more grateful and thankful for what I have. I don't always have to have the best of everything. I like nice things. Don't get me wrong. But I don't have to have the best of everything. If somebody comes in with something better, God bless them. It doesn't matter to me. I don't have to have all the newest technology. I can't even handle the old stuff. You know, I got a Samsung S3 or S2, and I'm still trying to figure out how to beat it. So what good is an S4 going to do me? You know, I mean, you think about some of this stuff. And today, yes, I have a credit card. When we travel, now it's really hard sometimes going in for gas. Everything has to be prepaid. And so I do use a credit card very sparingly. I hate compound interest. Sometimes we complain that these big fat cats of these credit card companies are retiring with these multi-million-dollar golden parachutes. You know who's putting all that money in their pockets? You're 24, 26, 28% interest. You're the one that's donating to their retirement fund. I'd rather pay cash and donate to my own retirement fund. Okay? It's kind of hard to ask God to bless you if you're not living a lifestyle that God can really actually bless. This is just so fundamental. I know this, maybe it's just too basic, and some of you, maybe it's just over your heads as far as ease, and you're like, but you know what? If we're not living a lifestyle that God can bless, He's not going to bless it. So we got to look, and so often we make other things a priority in our lives instead of God. God's not always. Sometimes we come into church, and God's our priority only when we're at church. But if we're not at church, God's not our priority. And God sometimes, I mean, he's first in line Saturday or Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but he's way back there Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, up until about church time, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we have problems with our priority. And how can God bless us? If we're supposed to be, if he wants us to be number one to him and he wants to be number one, how can he bless us? Just think about it. That's pretty simple. And our priorities oft times are our hobbies. Oh, there's nothing wrong with hobbies. I talked with someone this past weekend. I went to the train show. That's why I got this weird tattoo. Don't ever go to the train show and expect to come out with a little tattoo that looks cool on your hand, because it looks like roadkill of some sort. But I went to the train show, and there, some of the guys were there, and they have their big meeting on Sunday. And they're like, man, come on over. You got to join up in our club and such. And I said, well, the only problem is you meet on Sundays, and I can't meet on Sundays. And they're like, well, why not? And I said, well, you guys know I work at a church. I'm one of the pastors there at the church, a co-pastor with my father. How do you think that would feel? The Sunday evening congregation comes in, and everybody wonders, where's Pastor Roy? Well, he's not here tonight because it's his train club meeting. We laugh about that, but we stay home and do all kinds of other stuff, whether it's trains or fishing or Super Bowl or whatever. Our priority is our priority. Just because Super Bowl's once a year and we blow off church to watch the Super Bowl, that means football is more important to God than God. And that's not just for that one day of the year. That means that seed is in your heart, and you're reaping and you're sowing what you're reaping. And so we have all kinds of priorities. Compromise. As Christians, so many times we'll compromise and accept the world's way of doing things. And how can God bless that? God can't. So when you look at, take inventory of your life here tonight, and you're really desiring to have more of God and more blessings of God in your life, we can't compromise the Word of God. You just can't. You can't take and compromise this Word and expect God. You compromise the Word, but then you expect the same God that wrote the Word that you're trying to compromise to take and pour out His blessings upon you. You want God to hold up His end of the bargain, but you don't want to hold up yours. So it's like, okay, God, I'm going to compromise Your Word, but You don't compromise Your Word because Your Word says You're supposed to bless me. It doesn't work that way. Unforgiveness. I'm amazed at how many people struggle with just forgiving others. Bitterness. Being in strife with one another. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We need to walk in love. We need to get along with one another. Listen, you can't ask God, you can't go and pray and say, God, I really need a blessing this month. I really need a financial blessing. When you just got done shredding your brother or sister to somebody else on the phone, God's going to look at that and say, wait a minute. I can't do that. What are you thinking? Why are you even asking me this? You know what the answer's going to be. And we got to understand, we got to look at that. Not honoring God with your finances. Listen, God cannot bless you. The reason I struggled so much in my earlier years because I didn't honor God with my finances. I bought tools because I wanted tools. And I'd get to my tithes, I'd pay my tithes when I got around to it. And that's the way I did it. Now, we laugh about that. Sister Dolly's laughing about that. But hey, that's the way it was. My wife paid her tithes. God blessed her. I finally figured it out. God can't bless you if you're not spending your money wisely or you're not budgeting your money, that you're always wasting it. Why would God bless you? You know, put a little scenario up there. This is a very simple analogy. So you got to ask yourself, if you had a friend who always wasted money on stupid stuff and was always asking you for a handout, what would you do? Now, before you answer this, your friend just gets done telling you that they booked a weekend in the Dells at Kalahari, and they're all excited about going up there, and they're spending all kinds of money. But then they ask you if you could help them pay their cell phone bill because they're running a little short this month. What would you say to them? But we ask God to do that all the time. We blow our money on stupid stuff. God doesn't think, sorry, but God doesn't think your cell phone's more valuable than your salvation. Okay? So when you're asking God, God, will you please help me pay my cell bill? God said, what about your soul? I can't. I want to move on from this. If you're not experiencing the blessing, don't blame the devil. All right? He gets far too much credit than he deserves. Don't blame the devil because you're spending money stupidly. Don't blame the devil because you're living a life of just plain disobedience to God's word. Disobedience doesn't come without a cause. Disobedience in your life, in my life, is the biggest blessing blocker that stands in our way. When we look at Adam and Eve, let's look at them for a moment. There's one thing that God said not to do. God says, if you eat of this tree, that's all God said. He says, don't eat of this tree. You can eat of every tree in the garden. You can eat of the apples. You pick any tree, but this tree right here, this one right here is my tree. I want you to stay away from it. Don't go near it. Don't tempt yourself. This right here, Adam and Eve, and I can see as he points to it, this right here is mine. You got 90% of the rest of this. This is mine. What did they do? What did they do? Like any foolish child would do when you say, don't touch that. Yep. They touched it. They ate of that tree. And what happened because of that disobedience? Sin. Disobedience to God's word brought about a curse upon all humanity, and that curse is sin. You see, we today are reaping what Adam and Eve sowed all those many years ago. You sow little, you reap little, but at least you're reaping. When you think about the law of sowing and reaping, and Brother Russell talked about this morning, and you may ask yourself, you may say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have much to give. I don't have hardly anything to give. I just was thinking about that. And I used to always pray, and I prayed when I was offering time and such, bless those that have to give and bless those that have not to give. And I began to read, and when I began to study about this, I don't know if I can pray that anymore. I'm just being honest with you. Because we all have something we can give. I'm sorry. We all have something. The widow gave 3 mites, I believe. The Pharisees were pouring in all kinds of big offerings, and she just came over there, and she had 3 little pennies, and she put it in the plate. And God says, you know what? I'm going to bless that. I'm going to bless that. So I want to start praying, bless those that have to give and bless those that have little to give. Because if I say bless those that have nothing to give and won't give nothing, then what I'm asking God to do is to violate his principles. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. If I'm wrong, Brother Russell, you can correct me on Tuesday when we have breakfast. But if you take and you look what happens if you sow, when you say, I don't have hardly anything to sow, we're going to take 1 kernel of corn, Brother Phil, and God is going to say, listen, I'm going to give you 1 kernel of corn, and you're going to put it in the ground. What happens to that 1 kernel of corn after 1 season of harvest? That 1 seed you plant, you'll get 1 stalk of corn. And of that 1 stalk of corn, you commit it, or that 1 seed of corn, you commit it to the ground. And after the first harvest in the fall, you will net 3 ears of corn at an average of 800 kernels per ear. Okay, so your one seed, when you said, I don't have anything to give you, God, I've got 1 seed. Watch what 1 seed will do in your life. Just watch this. Listen. This is how God works. He says, you plant 1 seed, I'm going to give you 800. The next year, you say, okay, I'm going to take those 800 and I'm going to commit All those 800. So you plant those 800, you get 800 stalks at 3 years apiece. That's 2,400 years. You get 800 kernels then, that's 1,920 kernels of corn. You average out 30,000 kernels of corn per acre for seed, and by the end of the second season, when you go into the third season of your life, you have enough corn to plant 64 acres of corn. That's what God's saying. Now you can follow this out. I went out to like 5 years, and it gets astronomical as to how God can bless you all by giving him one kernel of corn. That's it. One kernel of corn. Not even enough to feed a bird. God says, you give it to me. You sow it. And I will allow you to reap 64 acres from that one seed. Now hopefully we can begin to understand why some people are always getting blessed and you seem to be stuck on broke. Because they're sowing seeds in their life. And God is honoring their obedience to his word. We've had a great year last year here at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm excited about our business meeting. We'll be going over the finances. But God has blessed so many people in this church. And you know why God has blessed them? Because they're sowing seeds. Every time they get a little bit extra seed, they'll sow it. And they'll just keep sowing it. They may reap a little here, reap a little there, sometimes maybe they don't reap anything. But you see, they keep sowing those seeds, and their blessing is released through their obedience to the Word of God. You see, if we're not obedient to the Word of God, we activate our blessings by being obedient. I want to read Deuteronomy 11:26 in the New King James. It says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I will command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey." There's that word again, obey. "If you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I commanded you today to go after other gods which you have known." And then reading in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," or obeys them, "is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him." You see, the key to releasing a blessing of God on your life is obedience. It's obedience. If you obey the commandments of God, the blessings will be able to flow in your life, and God can restore what needs you have that need to be restored. When you walk in obedience, the blessing will come and it will overtake you. Others will see the blessings in your life. And when you serve and obey God, you will spend your days and ultimately your years in pleasure and prosperity. It's that simple. Sowing and reaping. You're sowing good seeds into your life, and you're reaping bountiful rewards. You see, we can't always blame the devil when things begin to dry up in our lives. Is what we need to do is we need to look at our life and say, okay, God, what's keeping that blessing from flowing in my life? I've got to examine myself every day. When I start to have financial problems and I understand that things just wear out sometimes. We moved into our house 9 years ago, and you know what? The water heater leaked. When we had our home inspection, the man took pictures of it and said, "Your water heater's leaking." And I knew it was going to be almost $1,000 to replace the water heater, and I didn't have $1,000. So what else am I going to do? I went downstairs and I said, "Lord, I know my dad prayed for a refrigerator," and that was when we lived in Texas. And we moved from Texas to Shawano. We moved from Shawano to La Crosse and La Crosse to Madison. And when we lived in Texas, the refrigerator quit. He said we didn't have any money for a new refrigerator, so we prayed for it, and it started working. We moved all of those different places, and here we are 10, 12 years later in Madison, and We wanted to get a new refrigerator, and we gave that old refrigerator away, and it was still running, and we gave it away. So I know God can do some great things. So I prayed for my water heater. Well, Brother Jeff Rossing, I had to break down just a couple months ago and replace my water heater. 9 years later. Now, you may say, did it leak? Yep, from time to time I'd go down there and there's water on the floor and I'd pray and say, Lord, I don't have my budget right now. I don't have the money. I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to rob God. I'm not going to rob anybody else from a blessing. I want to be able to be a blessing to people. So, Lord, when I have the money, when you give me the money, you bless me with the money. And God sent some blessings our way and we got a brand new water heater. You see, to keep those blessings flowing, you got to ask yourself, God, is there something in here? I want to obey your word. I want to live by your principle because obedience brings blessings. If we find ourselves with no blessings, we need to go quickly to God and let him know and show us where we're missing it. If you're in your life now, tonight, and you're struggling and you wonder what in the world is going on, you need to come down to this altar at the conclusion of this message. You need to say, God, where have I gone wrong? We need to repent. We need to say, Lord, I need your blessings upon my life. God has built upon each one of us the ability to trust God for the things that he has promised us. And Brother Russell spoke of this morning, about trusting and about faith. And we're going to end up on this step here. 2 Corinthians 1:2, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God is saying, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. This promise is a challenge to my faith, and it's a challenge to your faith. When God says to us, God says to you, God says to me, God says to us as a church, prove me. Prove me, Calvary Gospel Church. You want to see this building built and you don't have enough funds for it? God is saying, prove me. Put me to the test. That's what I feel in my heart. God is saying, try me out. Try me out. God has promised that he is able to perform. He is able to take and do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think according to the power or the faith that worketh within us. God is saying, just obey me. Just obey my word. Prove me. Test me. You got problems in your marriage tonight? God is saying, prove me. You don't think I can fix your marriage? Prove me. You don't think I can take and fix your sickness, your health issues? Prove me tonight. Prove me. If you're sick in body, and when we have a prayer at the end of the service and you come down, say, prove me, God. God is saying, prove me. Test me. You don't think I can do these things for you? When we go to Kohl's and we pick out a suit of clothing, how many of you just go in there and buy a whole suit and walk out and never try it on? How many of you have ever bought a car? Got into a car lot and said, I want this red car over here. I really like it. And the salesman says, you like it? Take it for test drive. Nope. I just like the color. I want it. God is saying, prove me. Test drive me, if you will. Try me on for size. I'll show you that I can do everything that I've told you I can do. God is saying to us tonight, prove me, try me. If our praise singers can come. You see, we have to have faith in God. We have to understand that if we take and we follow God's commandments, if we put God first in our life as priorities, we put God first in our life as tithes and offerings, we put God first in every area of our life, God is saying, listen, that's faith. You're trusting me. You have faith, and faith will not work until you work your faith. And most Christians, We live our entire lives and we never acquire all the blessings that God has in store for us simply because we've never challenged God with our faith. You see, the word says you have not because you ask not. If we could stand tonight. You see, having faith in God, faith doesn't operate in the realm of the possible. You see, if faith operated in the realm of the possible, then that would mean that you and I could do it all. And what would that prove? Faith begins where man's power and man's abilities end. And in closing here, I want to just relate a story in my own life. It's had such an impact. Probably wouldn't affect your life one bit, but it talks about obedience. Kind of sums this whole message up in obedience, trust, and faith. Years ago, when I started a plumbing business, I felt that this was what God wanted me to do. And I sought a lot of counsel. I talked with my father. And I said, Dad, I said, when you left Texas and you came to Shawano, and then later we went, family, we started a church in La Crosse and moved to Madison. I said, did you ever think that you would fail? He said, no. He said, the thought never really crossed my mind. Because I felt that if God called me to do this, God was going to come through. As long as I was obedient, as long as I had faith, and as long as I trusted God, God was going to come through. So I quit my job and put everything together. I did all my homework. I had a truck. I had all the tools. I had everything ready to go, business cards, and I remember the first week sitting in my little office, sitting in there and had my calendar in front of me and just waiting for the phone to ring. Never rang. All week long. At the end of the week, I told my wife, I said, well, we got enough to go another week. And if nothing happens within another week, then we're going to have to start doing something. And we went through the second week, and nothing happened. I was so nervous and so sick to my stomach, all worried that, Lord, I know this is what you call me to do. I put a fleece out before the Lord, and God answered everything I laid out, God answered. And I knew this is where I was supposed to go. But here I am 2 weeks later, no paycheck. And I remember going out into my office late at night, begin to pray. Tears just flowing. I said, Lord, this is what you asked me to do. I know I'm doing your will. I want to be obedient. I want to have faith, and I want to trust you. God, I need something. I need a blessing. I need some work. I'm not afraid to have to work for that blessing. I wasn't afraid of that. And as I began to pray, I just like nothing happened. I talked to my wife the next day, and I said, maybe I should make a few phone calls and go to work for somebody else for a little while until business picks up. Kind of talked about that a little bit, and I went out later in the evening and I was praying again, and I said, Lord, I think this is what I'm going to do. I said, I ran into this plumber at the gas station a few days ago, and he told me if I didn't have any work to give him a call that he'd put me on immediately, and he had a good month's worth of work for me, so maybe that's what I should do. It's just like God just stopped me right there and said, what? Am I hearing this right? Do you seriously not have that much faith? And do you not trust me? And I remember saying, Lord, I trust you, but look at where I'm at. God says, if you trust me, if you have faith in me, you have confidence, I can bless you abundantly and above all that you're able to even ask or think. If just obey me. Just obey me. This is a lesson that I learned. Very simple, but very difficult. After kind of getting a little bit of a chastisement from the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'll wait one more week. The very next day, I'm sitting in my office, no phone calls. It's like 8:30. I'm ready to go. I'll do anything. And God spoke to me just as clear as a bell and said, go to Wisconsin Supply. I remember arguing. I said, God, I don't need anything from there. I don't even have any work to do. Why do I want to go to Wisconsin Supply and spend some money? God, I just kept God just saying, go and go now. Go now, now, now. So I got up, got in my truck, and I drove to Wisconsin Supply, and I drove in the parking lot, and I sat there, and I'm like, Lord, what am I here for? I'm here. And God put me right in the direct path of an individual named Dan Nagets. And he walks by my truck and he sees me sitting there and he comes back and he knocks on the window and he said, hey, didn't you used to work for so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, I'm on my own now. And he says, you got any work? And I said, absolutely nothing. I'll do anything. He says, follow me. Bring your truck over to my truck. And I took my truck, went over and put it by his truck, and he opened up his truck and he had boxes and boxes and boxes of plumbing fittings. He said, you're looking for work? I hate plumbing. I'm a cabinet man. He said, you can have all of these fixtures and you'd be at this address tomorrow morning. He says, and I got enough work for probably at least 2 to 3 weeks for you. And you know what? That was August. By the time October rolled around, I was looking to find help because I couldn't keep up. Listen. You want a blessing from God? You got to have obedience, faith, and trust. You need a blessing in your finances tonight? It starts with repentance. Lord, what's stopping this? Why is it that you're not blessing me? Why is it? What is it in my life? Marriage. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your family. God wants to bless your household. I know I've gone a little bit long tonight, but I want to open up this altar. I want to open up this altar because God doesn't desire you as his child to live the way you're living, and he desires to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour. He wants to open up the floodgates. But God says, I can't because there's some things in your life. You're not following my word. You're not being obedient to my word. So this altar's open. If you've never repented of your sins, and you may say, I've done too many things wrong in my life. God is saying, prove me. Don't think I can forgive all of that. Prove me. I can deal with that. You got a situation in your life, whatever it is. You say, God, I can't handle this. God said, prove me.